Welcome to the Kingdom Citizen Podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Phillips. We're expanding on our series, God's Kingdom Story. And today, we're going to be getting into how to understand the counterfeit kingdom that's been rivaling the kingdom of God, understanding Satan's kingdom, and how to resist it. So I hope you hear from the Lord. Through this, you'll become even more established in the faith so you can live out your full potential as a kingdom citizen. Let's go. Thanks for jumping in on today's broadcast. We're talking about the unfolding of God's kingdom story, and particularly where we see a point in time in God's kingdom story where two kingdoms are now existing in the heavenly realms. The two kingdoms that exist are God's kingdom and the kingdom of Satan. We know that one is eternal and the other is temporal, created, and counterfeit. And the counterfeit kingdom in its rebellion has posed a question, right? And it's more than just rhetoric. It's a question that was backed up with rebellion. But the question that was posed, the assault to the kingdom of God and God's sovereign rule, the question is, who has the right to rule? And it's the question that's being asked from that point in the heavenly realms into the heart of every human that was ever created from Adam and Eve till us today. Now, if we're going to look at the significance of how that question gets asked and answered, we must understand the kingdom of Satan and how we are to and how we can resist it. And I want to just share with you a little glimpse into this idea of the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of Satan, the kingdom of the devil, what it looks like, how it impacts our reality, and how we are to resist it by just reading to you a little bit out of Ephesians chapter 2. And as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even though we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved. And God has raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Now we're talking about Satan's kingdom, understanding it and knowing how to resist it. But to do that, we've got to get a frame up of what it looks like for Satan's kingdom to impact our current reality and how to rise above it and overcome it. Man, we get a glimpse of its impact into our life. We get a look into the extent of how it impacts our own eternity unless we come out of that dominion and come into the kingdom of God, rescued by our Redeemer Christ and set free, prepared now and prepared for the age to come. But I want to follow up on that too with Ephesians chapter 6. Where at the end of this letter to a group of Christians just like us who lived in Ephesus, Paul wants them to be aware of the nature of Satan's kingdom and how to overcome it. And he echoes these words. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities and against the powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. When we look at the nature of Satan's kingdom, and as a kingdom citizen seek to understand how we can resist it and overcome it in this world and the world to come, let's get into just kind of breaking down the nature of Satan's kingdom. You know, rarely in our Christian experience these days do we take time to talk about this. Do we get into the understanding of the enemy? Listen, I was taught this. You keep your friends closer and your enemies closer, right? If you're going to go to war, you need to know your enemy. And that's kind of what we're taking a little time to do today. Let's just know our enemy a little better. We don't want to exalt him. We don't want to give him more credit that he's due. We don't want to romanticize our enemy or Satan or the kingdom of darkness? In no way. But I want you as a kingdom citizen to be aware, right? We get a lot of teaching on how to make our life better as kingdom citizens. We spend a lot of time with how-tos and real practical points in our life of how to do better, live better, enjoy our life as citizens of the kingdom of heaven now and keep it out of the ditch. But today, we're taking time to learn and know of our enemy. That's right. We have an enemy. He's an enemy to God. He's an enemy to his kingdom, and he roams the earth seeking whom he might devour, attacking all who were made in the image of God. We need to know our enemy. And to know our enemy, we need to know the extent of his kingdom. Here's what you need to know. The kingdom of Satan is different than the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God's eternal, never was created. It will never end. The kingdom of Satan, it has a beginning and it has an end. It's temporal. The kingdom of Satan, it's evil. And its evil was introduced with Satan's rebellion. And here's why that matters. When we understand the extent of Satan's kingdom, we don't give him more credit than he should receive. We understand that he is a subject to the kingdom of God, that his kingdom is falsely set up. It is a counterfeit kingdom that had a beginning out of rebellion, and it will come to a crumbling end. That matters for us so that we know in whom to place our trust, we know who wins in the end, and we know that Satan's rebellion will be put down. So what authority is found in Satan's kingdom? You know, a lot of times we'd like to say he has no authority at all. God's sovereign, he rules everything. There's no authority given to Satan. But when we look into scripture, we see that the prince of this age, the prince of this air, as we read about earlier, right? That there is an authority that Satan's kingdom is imposing upon the earth at this time. And that's where we see in scripture, particularly in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, where Satan is called the God of this age, the God of this age. There is an authority that Satan's kingdom has. But you need to know this. It's an assumed authority. He has no right to it, and it was not granted to him, and it will be taken away. So we see the extent of Satan's kingdom. We see the authority that Satan's kingdom has. Yes, he is known as the God of this age. We go back to where Satan took Jesus to the highest point of a mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of this world, and then he says, you see everything that's here in its splendor? If you will worship me, I will give it to you. So here's a couple of things we have to think about that. Did Satan really have the right to give it to him? Was it an empty promise? Well, Jesus was wise enough to know whether it was or whether it wasn't. But here's the point I want to make. Satan offered to give something to Jesus if he would bow down and worship him, if he would submit himself to his control and align himself with the kingdom of darkness and turn away from the kingdom of God. Now, Jesus could have said, it's not yours to give, right? It belongs to my Father, but he didn't say that. He could have said, you're a liar and a deceiver, which he is, but he didn't say that. He says, away from me, Satan. You should worship the Lord your God and serve him only. So I make that point to say this. Satan's kingdom does have an authority. He is controlling the kingdoms of this world that align with the agenda of Satan and darkness, and exerting that control, we still need to know, it was not granted to him. He usurped it. He took it, but it will be taken away. So I want to align myself with the kingdom of God, the kingdom of light. I want to resist the kingdom of Satan. I want to turn away from any darkness that would encroach upon my heart, because I realize that authority that's being exerted over me through temptation, through oppression, it is an ungranted, usurped authority that I do not have to submit to. I can rise above it. I can overcome it and let light shine upon my life and walk in that light as a kingdom citizen. So if the kingdom of Satan is real, it has to meet those qualifications of a right to rule, which we see, well, it's not real because it was a usurped right. He just took it, wasn't granted. Then it also has to have a realm in which it is exercised. So what is the realm of Satan's kingdom? Well, we see it in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. The realm of Satan's kingdom takes place in the heavenlies. The realm in which it takes place, the subjects are the fallen angels who are his subjects to carry out his work. We know that it was a third of all the created angels at that time in the heavenly realms. So we're just kind of getting some foundation here in understanding Satan's kingdom, right? The nature of it, the extent of it, the authority that's found in it. But here's really what I've been wanting to get to. And that's the characteristics of Satan's kingdom. The others, guys, they were just building blocks for understanding. When we can recognize the characteristics of Satan's kingdom, then we're going to be able to spot them at work and know how to resist them. Guys, it's imperative as a kingdom citizen, we've trained ourselves to be in this world, but not of it, walking through and be able to say, that's darkness, that's light. That's the kingdom of God at work, that's the kingdom of Satan. I know what to play into, I know what to resist and stay away from. When I see sin prevalent in my workplace, I know that's the kingdom of darkness at work. When I see disobedience welling up inside of my heart, inside of my child, inside of my family, when I see disobedience permeating my culture and my community, I know I'm seeing the kingdom of darkness at work. When deceit and deception are prominent, I know how to spot it out. I know how to call it out. Hey, that's the kingdom of darkness. That's the enemy encroaching on us, imposing his will. Listen, the kingdom citizen trains themselves to identify and spot the kingdom of darkness at work through its characteristics, understanding its extent and its authority, and that I do not have to bow down. So when we see these and recognize them, we will know how to resist it with the weapons of righteousness that we have as kingdom citizens. I want to talk about these weapons of righteousness. We're understanding Satan's kingdom, but let's focus now on how to resist it. We resist it not within our own flesh, our own wisdom, not just by ignoring it, right? Or acting like it doesn't exist, or, you know, putting our head in the sand when it comes to the enemy that seeks to beset us. We resist the kingdom of darkness with weapons of righteousness. Now just let that soak in on you a little bit. Weapons. Listen, kingdom citizen. To resist the devil, we are going to take up weapons. Not the kind of weapons you're thinking of. But the Bible describes it when Paul was coaching Christians in churches in the first century. Just like us, in understanding the kingdom of Satan and how to resist it, how to overcome it, to advance the kingdom of God, he used the phrase in the teachings, take up weapons of righteousness to set back and resist the kingdom of darkness. We get a good look into this at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 7. In truthful speech and in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left, we help resist the kingdom of darkness. Paul continues on educating them in this concept, and he carries on in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 through 6. Here's what he says. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. Listen, for believers in the first century to the century we're living in now, as you're watching this episode, we must resist the kingdom of darkness, taking up weapons of righteousness in our hand. Man, these weapons of righteousness, they're the attributes of God, and they're the gifts that God gives to the citizens of his kingdom to resist and put down the kingdom of darkness as it puts a front up against our life and puts an assault on our families, our souls, our communities, and even our culture. Listen, the attributes and gifts of God we have to work with, man, it's His Word. It's the Bible. What a great weapon of righteousness. Paul speaks to a group of believers and says, you have the Word of God as the sword of the Spirit to use as a weapon of righteousness. Listen, kingdom citizen, I want you to know, a weapon of righteousness we take up in our hand is the gift of prayer. Man, when we go to make spiritual warfare, getting into the arena of prayer to go to bear against all the forces of evil that seek to beset the kingdom of God, starting right in our heart. Man, we have the gift of faith. Faith, when we live our life, stepping into the arena of faith to fight for the kingdom of God and resist the kingdom of darkness. Man, the attributes of God, His goodness, His love, His kindness, the fruits of His Spirit that come forth through our life, His attributes that we have faith in, that we pray down to saturate the communities around us. This is us joining God, taking up these weapons of righteousness in our hands. And in this way, we're joining God to advance His kingdom and extending an invitation to all to come out of the kingdoms of this world and come in to the kingdom of God. In this episode, we got into a pretty interesting topic. And you know, if we're living in a spiritual battle, in spiritual warfare, we need to know how to take up those weapons of righteousness. And that may be why so many of us find ourselves losing in this battle, because we haven't understood who our enemy is and what it looks like to resist him. You know, for believers just like us, the pastor of the church in Jerusalem in the first century, he wrote to the believers of that church, the kingdom citizens of his congregation who were being scattered all over the world. And he wrote to them to remind them about their enemy and taught them how they can resist and overcome. James says this, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil at the root of the problem and he will flee from you. How do you do that? Come near to God and he will come near to you. How? Through confession. Confess your sins. Repent of sin. Purify your heart of double-mindedness and humble yourself before the Lord and he will lift you up. And that's when he sets me to be a kingdom ambassador, a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, and be in this world and not of it.